Good morning. This is Dallas Townsend with the CBS World News Roundup. The Labor Department reports that consumer prices went up another 1% in June, the fifth straight month in which they've increased 1% or more. Fast rising costs of gasoline and home heating oil were largely to blame. Inflation is still running at an annual rate of higher than 13%. What to do about standby gasoline rationing authority? That's the question now facing House Democratic leaders in light of an unexpected complication last evening. The bill was making good progress when the House approved an amendment introduced by Republican Benjamin Gilman of upstate New York that would give either the House or the Senate veto power over any standby rationing plan proposed by the White House. Jim McManus reports.
Approval of the Republican amendment was a sharp setback for President Carter's new energy plan, and it left House Democratic leaders in at least temporary disarray. One Democrat said many of his colleagues did not understand they were limiting the president's ability to implement gasoline rationing in a national emergency. But a Republican opponent said the Democrats simply lost control of their forces on the House floor. Energy Committee Chairman John Dingell was disappointed, but he said he thinks the vote can be turned around later.
The House has terminated its consideration of the matter, and we anticipate that after a few discussions with the leadership and the perhaps the administration, we'll be putting the legislation on the floor again, and we'll try to inform the members better of the consequences of the Gilman Amendment, and to then come forward with a proposal which will tidy up the matter.
Should the amendment stand, the president might have to submit rationing plans repeatedly to Capitol Hill before gaining ultimate approval. The surprise vote also pointed up reluctance on Capitol Hill to grant broad powers to the White House on an issue as sensitive as the rationing of gasoline. Jim McManus, CBS News, Washington.
A short while after that surprise vote, President Carter had a tartly worded response.
This action today by the House illustrates once again the timidity of the Congress in dealing with a sensitive political issue.
Mr. Carter made that remark at last night's news conference, about which we'll hear more now from Lee Thornton.
The president opened with a call to the American people to support his proposed windfall profits tax, a plea he has made before. Though the House has passed the bill, the president is fearful that the oil lobby will attempt to gut the Senate measure.
Your voice can be heard. Your voice must be heard. Those of you who believe in the future of our country, those of you who believe that our energy program must be passed, please speak to the Congress of the United States, and especially to the United States Senate, which still has a responsibility to act.
The possibility of a tax cut for next year was ruled out when Mr. Carter said he believes Congress and the people have enough judgment to know you can't get something for nothing, that there is no free lunch. The president had no apologies to make for the way he went about the cabinet shakeup. Asked about the extent of the decision-making power of Hamilton Jordan, President Carter said he will be chief of staff, chief of the White House staff. And he added firmly, he will not be chief of the cabinet. I will be chief of the cabinet. Lee Thornton, CBS News, the White House.
The president also commented on a prediction by Senator Henry Jackson that Mr. Carter's problems might force him out of the contest for next year's Democratic presidential nomination and lead to the nomination of Senator Edward Kennedy. Mr. Carter noted that Senator Jackson campaigned for the 1976 nomination and predicted then that he would be the next president. Said Mr. Carter, his judgment was not very good then, and now I'm ready for the next question. The Arab Kingdom of Jordan may soon be getting a lot of new American tanks. CBS News diplomatic correspondent Marvin Kalb has details.
In a highly controversial move, the administration has decided to sell up to 300 tanks to Jordan at a cost that could run as high as $300 million. The tank is the most advanced version of the M60, reputed to be America's best. Under the agreement, for every M60 tank Jordan buys, a less sophisticated M48 is retired, meaning, in the administration's view, there would be no net increase in the number of field-worthy tanks in Jordan's arsenal. But U.S. officials readily admit there is no surefire way of monitoring such a system. Jordan now has about 600 tanks, wants to double and modernize that force within a year. The sale is expected to touch off a lively debate on Capitol Hill, largely because many senators and congressmen have been disappointed by Jordan's refusal to support the Egypt-Israel peace treaty. The official explanation is the U.S. wants to keep Jordan from sliding into the camp of radical Arab states, also wants to head off a possible sale of 275 British tanks to Jordan. the Israelis expressing deep concern, worry about a possible shift in the balance of power on their eastern front. Marvin Kalb, CBS News, New York.
The chief of the Palestine Liberation Organization's military department is still clinging to life today at a hospital on the French Riviera, but doctors describe his condition as hopeless. He was shot in the head yesterday by an unknown gunman. The PLO has accused Israel of responsibility, but diplomatic sources in Paris say the shooting may have resulted from rivalries among PLO factions. Israel has no comment on the PLO charge. The new reconstruction government came to power in Nicaragua less than a week ago, and so far, as we hear from George Nathanson in Managua, it has taken two major steps.
The first of significant political impact was the nationalization of all lands and properties in Nicaragua of former President Anastasio Somoza. The nationalized Somoza lands are destined for distribution among the country's many thousands of landless peasants. The second principal decree nationalized the nation's banks and is of more economic importance. The revolutionary junta declared that the government it had taken over was found to be totally bankrupt, and with it all the nation's private banks. In order to protect deposits and banking investments, the junta explained, it was forced to create a state bank to replace the failure of the Nicaraguan private banking system. The owners of private banks were assured they would be paid for their shares by the government. While nationalization is the substance of the first important acts by the Reconstruction government, the junta stressed that private property would be respected and that nationalization would not become government policy. George Nathanson for CBS News in Managua.
The Dominican Republic's consul general in Philadelphia was arraigned yesterday on charges of conspiring to run guns to the Sandinista guerrillas in Nicaragua. He's being held in lieu of $3 million bail. China has begun publishing photographs of Chinese missiles, and in so doing, says Peter Collins in Hong Kong, it's increasing tensions along its borders with Vietnam and the Soviet Union.
The latest photo to be published by the official Chinese news agency shows the firing of a ship-to-ship missile somewhere off the coast of China. It was the third time this week that photos of Chinese missiles have been put on display. Their publication comes after last week's incident along the Sino-Soviet border, in which, according to Peking's account, Soviet troops killed a Chinese civilian and wounded another in a deliberate provocation. China has also been stepping up its accusations against its southern neighbor, Vietnam, saying that Hanoi is building fortifications and preparing for a wider war. And Chinese leaders lately have also been suggesting more openly the possibility of a second punitive lesson for Vietnam along the lines of last February's cross-border strike. Analysts here point out that the pattern of threats has not yet been matched by any major troop movements, and it could all be shadow boxing as China prepares for new talks in Moscow next September. But they also note that Peking does not like to be taken for a paper tiger. Peter Collins, CBS News, Hong Kong.
Another plane load of refugees from Indochina is scheduled to arrive this morning in California, and we'll hear about that from Bernard Goldberg.
For many of them, the journey began in crowded, leaky, small boats. It has been an exodus of death at sea and disease. Disease that thousands of refugees are now bringing into the United States. Dr. Austin Bruin of the San Francisco Health Department.
The refugees are coming in with skin disorders, impetigo and scabies, with tuberculosis. About 2% of the people coming in since January have had active tuberculosis. About 70% of the people have had intestinal parasites.
Health officials say they are most concerned about the possible spread of tuberculosis. Such diseases are supposed to be diagnosed at camps in Asia before the refugees are allowed to leave. But with so many people in the camps, some of the sick pass through and arrive in this country. Officials, meanwhile, say they are trying to tighten medical procedures at the camps to make sure that refugees who are sick are not allowed to leave until they are treated. In order to protect not only the Vietnamese, but the Americans they will be living with. Bernard Goldberg, CBS News, San Francisco.
The president of India today asked opposition leader Charan Singh to form a new government succeeding the one headed by Morarji Desai.